How about that? Carolina Hurricanes didn't do anything dumb last night. They played 6 minutes of 5-on-5 hockey that was ultimately rewarded with a goal. Tony D'Angelo threw pucks at the net instead of throwing sticks at the net. Hey! What do you know? Dominating performance for the Carolina Hurricanes last night, top to bottom. Tony D'Angelo and Seth Jarvis, obviously, the key focal points of the game. But Antti Raanta also deserves a lot of credit for some of the saves that he made last night as well. But the Canes...
You disappoint me.
Did the thing.
You disappoint me.
How did I disappoint you?
We've talked about the process. We've talked about it. It's not that important, or it's not as important as everyone else thinks about goals and assists and all these other things.
Yeah.
Who did absolutely nothing last night? The perfection line after scoring every single Boston goal. Mm-hmm. Sweet baby Jesus. Now all of a sudden they're in Raleigh and they're matched up. Jordan Staal is on them like stink on rice.
Yeah.
And they did nothing last night. So I would like my gold star from Rod Brendamore, and you, sir, you're going to have to wait for your gold star.
Why should I have to wait for my
gold
star?
You, sir, are going to have to wait for your gold star.
Why should I have to wait for my gold
star?
You're
pointing out the goal scorers and the people with assists.
Well, no, I'm not even pointing that out.
I am disappointed in you.
No, do not be disappointed in me. You and I are both right in the situation.
Wait a second. We could both be right.
What?
No.
Is that possible in sports talk radio?
No.
You mean two people could be on the air and see similarities in what they're saying? Where's the spice? Where's the drama? I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to like make up a segment where I yell at you and then we can go viral. Look, two things can be true last night, and I think both things that you and I talked about going into last night's game came to fruition. You talk about the perfection line, the difference of being at home, being able to shut that down. Brad Marchand was a non-factor. Patrice Bergeron, a non-factor. But what I was focused on, I brought up Tony D'Angelo and I brought up the baby of the year, Seth Jarvis. He's the baby of the year. Sorry.
That's a compliment.
It is a compliment.
Yeah.
It is a compliment. The reason why pointing out Tony D'Angelo is important is because Tony D'Angelo, while not the only guy who lost his cool on Sunday, was the one who really showed you how bad everything was.
Emblematic of the Canes losing their cool.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. So for him to do the talking with the play rather than trying to get into some sort of verbal whatever with Brad Marchand, because that's how... I don't think I'm saying anything that's out of turn in that Brad Marchand, as much as he is a troll, he's a really good freaking hockey player.
Yeah.
Tony D'Angelo is not at that level on both ends. So beat him one way. Choose one. So that's what they did last night. Don't give them oxygen. So that to me was the key to the game. Don't do anything stupid. Voila! They win the game. Now here comes the next part, the difficult part. You got to do it there.
Take all of those things you did in Raleigh. Now do those things in Boston.
That's the great unknown, all right? At some point, if you're a true cup contender, you're going to have to not lose it on the road. All right? This is where we get into the cliches. The road team wins and it becomes a series. Well, it's literally the series if they win on Thursday in Boston. And they can move on with the rest of their lives. So that's where things are right now.
It really is startling how much better they are than the Boston Bruins.
It is.
Particularly when Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak are not on the ice. Mm. Like, I hate to be caveman hockey guy, but oh my, they're so bad. The rest of their team is so bad. Not bad, average. They're just average. Those three guys are outstanding. Mm-hmm. The rest of their team, average. So average. Like, you don't even have to try when those other guys are on the ice. It's like, oh, okay.
I will point out something, though, to fight you on.
Okay.
And I'm actually upset at you for real.
Oh, okay, good.
So we decided, because it was your stupid idea. Like, oh, you know what we should do?
I have a great idea.
I know what we should do. Here's what we should do. We should like.
Wait a second. Is that your voice for me?
Kind
of. Okay.
It's like we should go out to the people and like get like real time takes.
It's not a bad Julio
Twitter Spaces.
Honestly,
you wanted to do Twitter Spaces, but in real life.
In real life.
Weird. Actual conversations with humans.
Yes.
Strange. And she's like, no, we should do this. I'm like, oh, okay, you know. We don't have a tent out there, whatever, but we've got this portable microphone we can take anywhere. Who's been the one who has to go outside their comfort zone to put themselves in front of drunk people and ask them for takes? Who's doing that?
That has turned out to be you.
Why has it turned out to be me? It's A, it's your freaking idea. B, that's your shtick. You're the man of the people. I'm not. I prefer to be in my happy little bubble here in the studio. It's not that I don't like people. It's that I'm shy.
Well, see how much you've grown. I feel like this is the end of the Breakfast Club, and now you need to write me a glowing letter.
No.
About how much you've grown.
Absolutely not. You're the one who came up with the idea, and I'm doing all the
Saturday
freaking
detention.
Work. You hold the mic.
Whoa.
You hold the mic and ask some people what's
Whoa.
Up. Just saying. Oh, I got to write something for the website.
I mean.
I got to publish. How hard is that?
That was
you
it.
Putting yourself out there? No,
I
you're not putting
ready.
Yourself out there.
Yeah, but I feel
you're
like,
just hiding. You're hiding
no,
your back.
No.
Like, hey,
you know what
I'm
doing?
Doing
you know what I'm actually doing?
What?
I got the computer.
Yeah.
And I feel like the last two times
no.
people have seen the computer and
no.
they go, oh, there's audio of it. Gilio, obvious.
Yeah, no. Now, the reason why people are coming up is because we've done it a couple times, not because of the stupid
wait.
Sticker on your computer.
It's because the sticker, not because you're next to two life-size pictures
no.
of you?
That's not working either. So we've been okay. posted up outside the east entrance.
That's my favorite part.
Of PNC Arena. Yeah, nobody's like, that big picture, them? Can't see the resemblance. So we're posted up outside the east entrance for these home games. With
our
Mike and,
entrance.
Sure. And I got the mic, been asking people for some takes. Here's what we got last night.
These are edited, right?
Yes. Rand, you edited these because there's some.
I only double-checked, so we'll see if double-check's enough.
So hopefully that's enough. Hopefully that's enough.
We get into game seven. Is this thing over? Any takes?
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
All right. It's over.
All right. All
right. All right, pause. A pause right there.
Whoa. Aggressive. Strangely aggressive.
Everything was bleeped, right? That's not
while
we're pausing. Okay, good.
It's not while we're pausing. We're pausing because I have to set the context for that one. Is that as people are leaving, some guy is just chanting that he has a particular taste. And he is, this Boston guy then proceeds to be like, I'll eat you. I'm like, what? What is happening right now? While yelling game seven, I'm like, do you guys understand the words that are coming out of your mouth? That's the level of drunkenness that I witnessed last night.
And I'm a little upset.
Why?
Because, again, it was a Tuesday. I feel like we're not going to get there until we get a peak Thursday, Friday,
yeah,
Saturday
yeah.
game.
I'm with you on that. All right, continue.
Glad I got that.
Joe?
Yes.
We came all season. We prepared for tonight.
Yes.
The voice will not be here tomorrow. We're going to get into work.
Uh-huh.
We're going to say almost nothing.
What were you saying to Boston fans on the way out here?
Just go home. They need to just go back to Massachusetts.
Don't you mean like Apex?
Unfortunately, I do. But I don't like to acknowledge that. Because I have this deep conspiracy theory that everybody that lives north of the Lakes and Dixon line, they all live on cul-de-sacs and they buy season tickets. And they just infiltrate the sweet, sweet, sweet blessing that the good, sweet hockey gods have blessed them to, the good old North State.
All right, drive safe.
Love you.
For game two.
Let's hope he wasn't driving.
There was definitely more chirping. Not a lot chirping today?
In our section was, but I didn't see the whole lot.
Oh, okay, because there's not as much chirping today coming out. I think that kind of quieted today. But you saw some chirping in your section, some kids.
Oh, yeah.
Fight?
Oh, yeah.
No fighting, though, right?
No fighting.
Okay.
So I saw fighting last game,
yes.
Not this game.
Oh, we talked to a guy who straight up fought last time.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was crazy.
What up? What's up, man?
See?
Yeah, man.
Look, man, the Bruins,
pause
they're not
it.
Physical enough.
Pause it. You know, I said Ovias, not
yeah.
Gilio. Right, because I've been the one that's been out there the whole time while you're just kind of hiding in the back.
Define hiding. But I'm literally at a table with our computer.
That nobody goes past. I have to go out into the masses. You understand how uncomfortable this makes me? Because I'm shy.
Well, I don't know why I'm looking to him. He's never stood up for me in the history of the world.
Hang on.
So he's not going to stand up for me this time anyway.
Hang on. Yeah. Context. I need to know. I wasn't there. So Julio was there physically.
Physically there, yes. But not. Okay. Like he's off. He's in the background
it's
with his computer.
Off.
He's not paying attention to anybody. He's
at
just
a
looking,
table.
He's looking like he's working so nobody wants to bother him.
That's
it's very
true.
Strategic.
That is not
it's
true.
It's very strategic because Julio is just sitting there like, I'm looking at my computer. He's like the guy at a coffee shop with the earbuds in. Don't bother me.
Like the girl at the bar with a book?
Yeah, don't bother
me. I'm the one who wants to get the sign that says, the Canes are going to win the Stanley Cup. Change my mind. Or the Canes aren't going to win the Stanley Cup. Change my mind.
Wait, did you do that last night?
No, he didn't do that last night. He just sat there looking at his computer,
that's a good idea,
typing.
Though. Thank you, Rand. Game one of the next series, you need to do that.
If there is a next series. Hey. All right, continue.
Hey.
Because there'll be plenty of Pittsburgh fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's crazy. What up, man?
Look, man, the Bruins, they're not physical enough. They don't have the talent that we have. And more importantly, they don't have the heart. And more importantly, we're going to go to Beantown, win it in six. We're not letting it come back to seven, right? Because if it comes back to seven, it's going to be Raleigh all day. And the Canes are buzzing. The boys are buzzing, right? Beantown, you better get ready. Have some sad beers ready. Get some pints ready. Because the beers, they'll be flowing, but they'll be sad ones. Because the boys, the Canes, in six, Canes of the Cup, baby. That's all I got to say, Obies.
How you like them apples? I think that's what he was saying in that situation. Canes took care of business last night. Big reason why they were able to take care of business is because they played, as my old colleague Mike Salarte used to say, played within themselves. Didn't do anything silly. I mean, we didn't try to overcomplicate our conversation about the Carolina Hurricanes heading into Game 5. Don't do anything dumb. It wasn't about Freddie Anderson coming back. Antti Raanta is absolutely good at what he does when he's on the ice, as we saw last night. Issue with Raanta has always been durability. But when he's on the ice, you saw last night, he was the first star. Kept them in that early on in that game. Made some key saves. But we also know that Peter Kochetkov, can get in there and do the job too. That's why I've never really thought that the goaltending question and this wondering of Freddie Anderson coming back is material to what's going on with the Boston Bruins. The team, as team currently on the ice, is good enough to beat the Boston Bruins. And we saw that last night.
Good qualifier. Good enough to beat the Bruins.
Yes.
Not the Panthers.
No.
If they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good question.
Let's qualify that one.
Let's qualify that one. Yeah.
I think they would love to have Freddie for Pittsburgh.
That's a separate conversation.
But I'm glad you qualified it by saying they're better than Boston.
Mm-hmm.
The three goalies they have, any of them could play, and they could win as long as they play their game. And they did last night. And they were dominant last night.
And they also got some breaks, too, because I still can't explain what happened with that Seth Jarvis goal.
No, I got no clue.
Like, bounced back and ricocheted off a Boston Bruins skate over the head of Swayman, who tried to swing it away, and it just
swatted it into his own net.
Yeah.
That happens.
Here's Seth Jarvis on that insane goal, his first of the night.
A lot of things had to go perfect for that to even happen, but, I mean, there was great puck movement from everyone on the ice. I think we did a good job snapping around that time, and Fishy laid a heavy shot, and I was trying to actually, like, swing it back to Fishy because he was sitting in the slot. And, I think, like, the D-man shot my stick with the puck on my stick, went off someone's foot, alley-ooped over the goalie into the corner. But, I mean, I'll take that any day of the week.
So that was Seth Jarvis, the baby of the year, with goal number one discussion. And then, obviously, he had a hell of a goal number two. And this is after he got hit in the groin in the previous game. Apparently, he was still in some level of pain going into the contest.
In the plums.
Well, and shout out to Luke DeCock for using that appropriately, using that gif. I can feel it in my plums after he scored the second goal. A suggestion.
Oh, go ahead.
A suggestion. Perhaps Seth Jarvis needs to take a puck to the balls before every game. I don't know. Why not? Right? If it worked the first time, like, it clearly unlocked some goal scoring. Or is it just a one-time thing and he's going to go the rest of the way? If I told you you'd score 2 goals a night, but you'd have to get hit in the crotch with a puck before the game, would you sign up for that?
He's 20, though. Like,
he's got a whole – they're young. He's got a whole life ahead of him.
I would not take a – no.
If I told you 2 goals a night. Hey, look. But
at 20, you need some of that.
I'm just saying, at 2 goals a night, but the qualifier is you get hit in the nuts.
I would not do it.
You wouldn't sign up? But
dude, not at 20.
You're not a team player.
I
you don't want the cup badly enough,
you're
Joe.
You're soft.
You are so soft. Because if you wanted that cup, you would remove the cup and then get hit in the balls.
What if you were like me and you were the last Chilio? It's very important.
But you're not the last Chilio.
Not now. I took care of that.
You've sired 2 Chilios.
So we'll ask Seth this, like, 10 years into his career.
I mean, have to ask him.
You can always freeze it.
Are there other Jarvises?
Just say, you could always freeze it. Take care of that later on. Just a thought experiment. My brain works in weird ways. And Tony D'Angelo also was key last night because he didn't do anything dumb. He didn't take the bait from guys like Brad Marchand. And he talked about his play doing the talking.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are trying to stir it up a little more than me. I'm not very worried about it.
Oh, stop it. Pause it. You guys are trying to stir it up. Tony, stop, dude. You threw the freaking stick at the end of the game on Sunday. Come on. But whatever.
In fairness, Marchand's stirring it up by calling him a racist on the ice.
I mean.
Right? Isn't that what's stirring it up? Like, I don't understand some of these guys. Like, they act like we don't have camera angles. We don't have replay.
I thought they were talking about Mother's Day.
I don't get some of these guys. Like, then that's fine. That's the hockey.
What do you mean you don't get them?
I don't get the, for example, the NFL, the NBA. Mm-hmm. They talk about everything. Like,
they do.
The NBA puts these clips on there, and you're like, that's not good for you. And they're like, no, we don't care because you're going to now talk about us.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're in the press conference and they're answering questions and hey, did Ja Morant, did they go after your knee? And it becomes part of the drama, right? The NFL with all of their injury report, you know, infinite items, talking about everything in NFL because you're telling a story. There's also more people who cover the league,
mm-hmm.
right? Hockey, they're getting asked a question about a guy calling you a racist and you're sitting there acting like it didn't happen. And it's like, wait a second.
Well,
what bizarre world am I in that we're going to pretend this didn't happen? And then you're going to pretend there's no animosity while
you chuck the stick at them.
While they're, I can't even use the words. And then you throw a stick and it's like, just say it.
Yeah.
We respect people who just come out and say, I don't like him.
Yeah.
You know? And then you have your instant redemptive arc. I don't like him, but I paid him back. And now on Thursday, I'll knock him out of the playoffs. Boom. Done. That's all you got to talk about. Don't sit here and be like, I don't know. You guys are stirring it up.
It's the OG.
Okay.
Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Jehovia. Speaking of how the NBA covers things, Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers had a horrendous night last night against the Miami Heat. Now, one thing you and I did call yesterday was that James Harden was not going to replicate the last 2 performances in Philly in this series being tied up at 2 apiece. But what I was not expecting was Joel Embiid also to not have a great game. It's one thing to lose. It's another to lose by, 35 last night, whatever it was?
Yeah, but if you're going to lose, lose big.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know my rules.
I guess so. But what's interesting is that on the TNT set, Charles Barkley was out here talking about how Joel Embiid was distressed about not winning the MVP.
No.
That went to Jokic.
No.
So, I mean, it is a dumb assertion to make if you are Charles Barkley. Like, that's the reason why they had the performance that they had last night. And Embiid actually talked about it last night, saying, like, yeah, I knew this was going to be the case a couple weeks ago, so I wasn't surprised that Jokic was the one who ended up winning the MVP. Although, I do feel that we care more about who wins MVP than the people who actually win the MVP and who don't win the MVP. I mean, I think
the media complex talks about the MVP and the NBA and the NFL more than the players probably emphasize it. I would agree with that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this default conversation that I just will never understand. Week one, Russell Wilson is the MVP of the NFL in week one.
In week one.
Oh, okay.
It's a good talking point. Well, to bring in casual people, this happened in the ACC with Armando Bacot, right?
Yeah,
Armando Bacot, I think the issue is what happens in the regular season, what happens in the postseason, right?
Sure.
So the MVP awards are regular season awards.
Yeah.
And we saw this, we'll relate it to what we saw here in the ACC, where Alondis Williams of Wake Forest ends up winning the ACC Player of the Year. Again, regular season award. Based on the numbers that Williams put up this year, he absolutely was a worthy ACC Player of the Year. People who voted for Armando Bacot were perfectly justified in voting for him as well. I didn't think there was a wrong answer between the two.
Easy to make the case for either player.
But once we got to the ACC tournament and then all the way through the NCAA tournament to the championship game, there was a whole bunch of squawking Carolina fans talking about, and he wasn't the ACC Player of the Year? Where's Alondis Williams now? And it's like, it's a regular freaking season award. You just can't retcon what we saw in the regular season and apply it. So why don't we do a better job of having postseason awards to go along with the regular season awards? And why does it take so freaking long to give you the regular season MVP? If we just announce this stuff before...
Great question.
Because, like, Joel Embiid actually mentioned this last night in his talking about the MVP award, where I think it was Tim Bontemps of ESPN did a straw poll. And of the voters, it was very obvious that Jokic was going to be the one who was going to win the MVP. So that's what Embiid was referencing last night. Like, I knew about this for weeks. Okay, well, if you understood where this was going to be a couple weeks ago, then why don't you just announce it the day after the regular season ends, or that window of time between the regular season and the postseason start?
I agree.
And that way it's just done. It's crystallized. That's a regular season award. And then when obviously you get to the postseason, you can have a postseason. Why don't you do postseason awards? We do ACC tournament teams,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, why couldn't you do the same thing in the playoffs in the NBA? Hey, it's more content, right? NBA people love content. So I don't know. This just seems like a thing that would be obvious. And it's dumb that Charles Barkley would insinuate the reason why the Sixers were the way they were last night was because Joel Embiid was in his feelings over the MVP award. No. Joel Embiid's banged up, number one. James Harden is old. That's going to factor in. And the Miami Heat, based on what we know about this squad, the number one team in the East.
It was a pride game last night.
Was not going to back down, much like the Carolina Hurricanes last night.
After playing poorly in two road losses, they came back home and handled their own business. Duh.